The presence of God is welcomed and embraced into your life through ordinary, everyday faithfulness. I know a lot of times you want to evaluate spiritual growth based on big moments and how you handle big moments and big attainments, but it's going to be everyday, ordinary faithfulness because that's how we live, and you'll notice the presence of God there. In our recent weeks, we've been looking at some details of the tabernacle, and tabernacle continues after Exodus 33, so this actually represents the close of our study in Exodus 30, or in the book of Exodus. There's no need to review the next few chapters or more tabernacle stuff, and it closes with an emphasis on the presence of God, which is what the tabernacle is about. God has made himself known. God has chosen to dwell with his people, and he invites his people to come to him and enjoy a relationship with him. So the key that I think I've been trying to present the last several weeks has been the presence of God, and we see that again here in Exodus chapter 33. This is a continuation of the conversation that was begun last week at Exodus chapter 32, where the people of Israel give the gold to Aaron. They make a calf-looking thing, and they pretend that it's a god. A conversation ensues between God and Moses as to what this thing really is about and what's wrong with the people's hearts. And what God says in here at the end of Exodus chapter 32, and then we read it again in Exodus 33, right at the very beginning of the reading. I don't know if you caught that, but God is basically telling Moses, I am now canceling my reservations for the promised land. You go in. I'm keeping your reservation intact. You will go. You will get there. You will enter the promised land. I'm not going. And the reason is a holy God always has to move against the sin of his people. Well, just sin in general, he has to move against that. And he sees these people and they're bent toward wickedness and they're bent toward rebellion and resisting him. And he's realizing, you know, I'm probably just going to destroy these people on the way there. You go ahead. I am not going with you. And that's where Moses begins his best moment of intercession. No, please, God, if you don't go, we're not going. You have to go with us. We so desire your presence. Moses speaking on behalf of the people, interceding for the people, probably saying some things that they don't even deeply feel in their hearts. Lord, go with us. Now, if the promised land without God is not valuable to Moses and not valuable to the people, recognize this, that the promised land that you pursue with your attainments and your pleasures and your positions and moving forward in life, please understand, and I'm not saying this to I don't want anybody to feel bad, but just the sheer recognition of reality, your best life without Jesus is an empty life. And so Moses has developed this heart for God and a love for the people that will be so stubborn in their resistance to him. He loves them now. He seeks their best, and he's come to understand the promised land without God is not worth having. These are people who have been slaves all their natural lives in a foreign land. And Moses is saying, you know what, you lead us through this promised place, and if you don't go, it's not good for us to go in. So let's take a look at some of these details here. Exodus 33, I'm looking at verse 13. And you notice Moses makes a fantastic request. He says here, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Boy, notice that the desire of Moses is not to treat God like a compass or a map or a set of instructions. Could you please give me the guide manual so I can follow the treasure map and get us there? Now, just, God, show me your ways that I may know you. This is a man who knows God already, and he wants to know God deeper. There's this hunger, this passion for more depth with God, more intimacy with God, more reality with God. God, could you please show up in my life? Show me your ways. I get the impression that if Moses is faithful to God in the everyday aspect of following his ways, the big stuff like leading the people into the promised land will be taken care of. This is so true for us today because faithfulness in the routines of life, and let me just put this up here. This is the one aspect of The one dimension of Exodus 33 that I really want you to get, if we are faithful to God in the routines of our everyday moments of life, there it is that we will experience the presence of God. And some of us wait on the sidelines thinking that there's something big that's out there for us, and then we will mature, and then we will change, and then we will know what it's like to pray and see God in response to our prayers. Some of you are parents, and you are grandparents, and you feel as if those make or break moments are when the kids go off to college, or begin to date, or choose a spouse, or move to another city and are searching out for a church. And those are the very big moments that do deserve and require our praying. But parents and grandparents, you can and should be praying for those everyday moments that face your kids and your grandkids. Don't underestimate everyday faithfulness. I look at verse 14 and you notice the Lord replying, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." God's rest is given in connection with His presence. The rest is not given in connection with, you know what, when you do this, and when you do this, and when you do this, and when you do it all right, you'll get to the end of that effort, that end of your pursuit, that end of your attainment, and then you'll be right with me and you will experience rest. No, my presence will go with you and I will give to you rest. If ever there was a time for God to reduce the whole thing to a formulaic expression of, well, you know, if you do a bunch of rules and if you keep a bunch of regulations and don't do this other stuff that we've talked about, but God, my presence will go with you. And then notice how Moses is grappling with this. Then Moses said to God, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us." Okay, so quick quiz. Please feel free to answer audibly. Is God with you, Christian? Is God with you? Yes. Can God guide you? Can God provide for you? Okay, now don't answer this one. Just think about it. Just take this in and try to process this. Okay, then why do you worry? Why do you second guess? Why are you not more daring for God? This is what Moses has come to figure out. God has resources that he does not. God has a perspective that he does not. God has a power that he does not. It won't be any good if we make it into the promised land without you, because we need you there and all that you are. Here's Moses about to embark on this huge challenge that is completely out of his reach. And he is not ready for this. He has no experience in leading people into the promised land. His experience to date in terms of following God is to watch the plagues happen, to watch all this powerful stuff happen, confront Pharaoh, and then run out of town. Boy, this is going to be brand new. Leading people into the land and leading them in the land, he's not ready for that. But God says, "I am with you." Perhaps there are some parents of young children here this morning who are just beginning this journey called parenting, and you're looking at all kinds of unknown adventures. God is with you, Christians. Perhaps there are some older folks where you're looking at kids are grown and gone, and we've got this season of life, and we have still some time and some skill and some ability, and what do we do with all of this? How do we navigate through this season of life? You know what? God is with you. Perhaps you're facing some kind of a moral dilemma or a decision, and it's hard and it's hurting and it's beyond your resources. Do you realize this? God is with you. God is with you. Take comfort, Christian, that whatever it is that you need to face, God is with you. If you need to walk with a rebellious child, God is with you. If you need to step out of pornography, God is with you. If you need to walk away from laziness, God is with you. God's words of comfort are not connected to His power, not in this passage. They are connected to His presence. God is with you. Your call is to be faithful to the God who is with you in the everyday moments of life, because that's where you live. So that's the comforting part of God's presence, but then there's also the challenging part of God's presence. That when God is present, He is entirely present. All of God, His entirety, all of who God is, all of His character is present. That means His holiness is present, His purity is present, His righteousness is present. You know what? His perfect standard is present with you, wherever you are, Christian. And saying, go with me, Moses is saying, I am willing to be accountable to you. Moses is willing to be accountable to the God who is holy and even fearsome in His holiness. Moses is willing to trust God and to walk with God because he wants God to walk with him. I'm fascinated by the response that God gives to all of this conversation up until this point, looking at verse 17. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Wait a minute, God is sovereign. This is a God who says, I will have mercy on who I have mercy on. You can't tell me who to have mercy on. I will have compassion on who I want to have compassion. You can't tell me who I must have compassion upon. This is the God who got all things started. He's the creator. He's also the God who keeps things going. All things are going because of him. He's the sustainer of our universe. This is a God, you can't tell him anything that he has to do. He is obliged to nobody. And yet he is saying, I will do the very thing you have asked. There's something about the request of Moses that so moved the heart of God. This looks like God changed his mind at the sake of the request. Okay, so here's an obvious question. Just let this settle in for a moment. What if Moses had not asked? Would God have gone with? Any kind of answer here is sheer speculation because the Bible doesn't say. But the reality is Moses did ask, and in response to the asking, God changed his directive. I'm going. Interesting that this begins with this statement here in verse 2. I will send an angel before you. And that statement had actually been made in chapter 32, but here I'm reading from Exodus chapter 33, verse 2. I will send an angel before you. And then we have down here in, verse 17. I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you. I will do the thing that you have asked. Well, really, what did Moses ask? Let's see if we can get that. So verse 2, I will send an angel, and then Moses makes a statement in verse 15. If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Now, I don't see a question mark at the end of this statement. And it really looks more like a statement than a question. It looks more like a statement than a request. And yet God hears the heart, understands the heart of what Moses is asking. This holy God who has no business answering. He has no obligation to anybody. Moses is more or less asking, could you please, holy God, have mercy on these people, undeserving as they are, will you go with them? And God relents, he gives to that. Yes, he's pleased, he's delighted to go in. And what Moses is asking for, really, he's anticipating two things will occur. One, God will go with them into the promised land, but also that God will bless them in such a way that they are distinct from all other nations. This is a huge ask. I think Moses understood the mission, asking in this way and getting what he asked for. God wants to use Israel as a living witness to the nations that he exists and that he is present with his people. God wants to put the nations on notice that he has made himself known and he is present with the people of Israel. Moses is not thinking selfishly. This is one of Moses' best moments. He is interceding not for himself or for his own betterment, but on behalf of the people, asking for their best, for their deepest need, the best thing that God could do, not a display of power, but a display of his presence. There's no, as I look at this in Exodus chapter 3, just skimming through this, I see the conversation is very early on. I see something about a tent of meeting in the very next section. And then there's some discussion about the glory of the Lord in the middle section here. And as I just read through this, even skimming quickly and briefly, there's no mention of God's power. There's no asking of God for His power to be released. Moses is not asking for His power because that's not the greatest need that Israel has at this point in time. God, would You please go with Your people? Your presence with them will make them distinct. So often we reduce our spiritual experience to more or less a religious code. But that's not what we see going on here. It's not like Moses is saying, help them keep the Ten Commandments. Help them to know Your law. Help them to do the right thing and to make the right choices. God, go with them. The greatest thing about Israel is the presence of God with His people. And please understand this. The greatest thing about the Church of Jesus Christ is the presence of God with His people. It's not your moral code. It's not your ability to adhere to a set of rules and regulations. It's not even what you do on a Sunday. The greatest thing about the Church invisible as well as the local church is the presence of God with His people. That is so real and so transformative that Moses understands this is going to put us on display in front of the nations. Verse 16 of what I'm looking at here. How will anyone know that You're pleased with Me and Your people unless You go with us? What else will distinguish Me and Your people from all other people on the face of the earth? Boy, that's a big prayer. God, go with us so that we put You on display in front of the nations. Now, how did Moses know how to pray this way? How did Moses know to ask for the right thing so that God says, I am pleased with you and you will get what you asked? Moses spent time with God. And time spent with God allowed Moses to understand the heart of God. And so when he's praying within the will of God quite naturally. He didn't have an instruction manual on how to pray when Israel blew it yet again. Moses has learned, quite simply, that he would rather have God than God's blessings. And all of us are tempted to flip that on a daily basis. We are tempted to desire the blessings of God rather than the presence of God. And if you want to check yourself on this, here's an easy way to do it. Listen to how you pray. And listen to how you pray. Listen to what you pray for. Read the prayer requests that come through the prayer chain. So much of our praying is in reaction to some type of a stressful situation. Fix this, bless that person, heal this one, go over here. I am not against praying for God's power to be released. I pray that quite comfortably and quite confidently. Right now I am, for instance, praying that our elders and staff would agree on the mission, vision, purpose of the church. As we go through the season of, well, we've shuffled staff a bit and we think we have some more shuffling to go. What is it, God, that You've called us to do and to become? I'm praying for Holy Spirit agreement. And we are people, we don't even talk on a daily basis with each other. If there's going to be Holy Spirit agreement, it's going to be a miracle of God working in the hearts and minds of people who we don't always get together and share thoughts and ideas. Right now, I am praying for my kids. I'm praying John 15 for my kids that they would so abide in Christ that God would produce abundant spiritual fruit in them and through them. I'm also praying that God would use them globally. I pray for my wife that God's grace would so abound in her work that at all times in every good aspect or work or deed that she pursues, she would have all that she need. And it'd be evident to other people that God's grace is abounding in her life. Do you realize I prayed for you? I'm on my knees almost every week for you for this moment. And what I'm praying is that you would come in here and experience, emotional experience, the presence of God in this room. And that means part of the process of praying that is I'm being aware of spiritual warfare. And I'm asking God to clear out the demonic that are watching you and watching this building, so that when you walk in here, you are stripped of that presence, and that you get to enjoy with as a sanctuary, as it were, almost like the tabernacle. You get to enjoy the presence of God here. And every once in a while, somebody walks in and says, you know, I just sense God's presence in here. Yeah, I wonder how that is. That's just great. Yeah, I'm praying that for you. It's one of the best things I can think of to pray for you, is to pray God's presence for you. Pray for God's power. You have permission to do that. Oh, but don't leave God's presence on the table. Pray for God's presence in your life and for your own awareness of His presence. Think about this. I've helped some guys walk away from pornography. You know what? I don't think anybody would ever look at pornography if they realized that Jesus was in the chair sitting next to them. I'm trying to witness more and talking to guys about witnessing from time to time and being aware and alert of the opportunities that God sends our way and understanding how the Holy Spirit moves you and prompts you and tells you, tell them about me right now. Tell them about Jesus right now. Tell them. There are times when I miss that and I regret that. But I'm trying to become more aware of that. I don't think I would ever miss an opportunity if Jesus was standing right there with me, if I could see this person, Jesus, standing right with me, and he was pointing, right, that one, I want you to talk to that one. I don't think I would miss it. There's just so much of our day-to-day lifestyle where we put God over here, and then we live over here, and once in a while we'll revisit the God box, but we mostly live in our own stuff. Do you realize that God is with you always? Pray His presence. Pray for His presence to be recognized in your life. Now, if you can pray that for yourself, I want you to learn to pray that for other people. And if you can learn to pray that for your church, then I want you to learn to pray that for your city. If you can learn to pray that for your city, then I want you to learn how to pray that for your nation. And if you can pray that for your nation, that God would be present in our nation and people would recognize the presence of God and actually, as it says here, give glory to God in our nation. I want you to pray that for the nations, plural. Oh, this is huge. And this might be for you a whole different way to approach prayer. Rather than getting things from God and asking things from God. In fact, try this sometime. Try praying without asking God to get anything. Just simply delight in His presence and see where that takes you. Some of this actually goes back to Exodus chapter 6. If you've got a Bible, please turn there. Turn some pages to your left. Exodus chapter 6. I think this is about the second conversation God has with Moses about what He's going to do. This is before they come out of the land of slavery. So Exodus 6, verse 6. God says to Moses, "Therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians." And for most of us in our mind, I think we just sort of stop there and we think in terms of, well, that's what the Exodus was about, wasn't it? It was just getting them free from slavery. But it carries on. "I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people." So God is taking them out from all the nations, out from all the people. He's bringing them to Himself. "You are mine now. I will take you as my own, and I will be your God." You know, this is a covenant. This is almost like a wedding. I take you, and you take me. And God is volunteering to say, and He has no obligation to say this to anybody for any reason, "Not only do you belong to me, but I belong to you. I will take you as my own people and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into the land I swore to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob." And it continues on from there. Fascinating that there's no mention of God's power and Exodus 33. There is great mention of his presence. And one of the challenges that I want you to hear this morning is to pray for both his power and his presence. Early in the Gospel of Mark, we are told that Jesus chose 12, and then we're also told why in the Gospel of Mark. We're told why Jesus chose 12. And you might think in terms of, well, there were 12 tribes of Israel, so he chose 12. No, that's not what Mark says. Okay, well, how about Jesus chose 12 so that they'd be apostles and they could start the church? No, that's not why. We're told in Mark chapter 3, verse 14, Jesus chose 12 to be with him. And that's it, to be with him. Out of their time spent with Jesus, they would be trained and equipped and ready for the mission. And then at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, with what we call the Great Commission, we see Jesus saying, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, and I go make disciples. But then we see that phrase ending with, I will be with you always. Presence of God. Have you missed that? Point of application. I'll just wind it up, tie it together with this. Cultivate a stronger orientation toward praying for the presence of God in your life and for your own awareness of the presence of God in your life. Do you know what it sounds like to you, what it feels like to you when God is prompting, when God is leading, when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you? Do you recognize His voice? Pray for the presence of God to be realized by you and see where you go with that. You might be surprised. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for the simplicity of Moses' request. Go with us. We think in terms of our day-to-day life, and for some of us it's parenting, and some of us it's working, and for others it's retirement and relating and doing errands and odd jobs, and all of us are busy. We're busier than perhaps we were intended to be when you created us in the first place. But in and out of and through all of that, I pray, dear God, that we would be present with you. Forgive us for those moments when we are in hyperdrive and we are scurrying and running and racing and we've barely said a prayer throughout the day. Forgive us for those moments, dear God, when we forget that you are with us in such a way that our language does not represent your presence or your desires. Remind us that you are omniscient, that you are everywhere, all-knowing, all-present, always with us. And we want that awareness to change the way we live. Our choices, our words, there have been times when we've used the wrong words. We've used hurtful words. We have used words of gossip. We have used words of profanity, not recognizing that you were there and you heard that, and our words hurt your heart. And we're sorry for that. We also recognize in this moment that sometimes our actions are not what you desire. Please work with us in such a way that your presence in our hearts changes us and we live new lives. It's you that we seek and not your blessing. It's you. We want you first and foremost in our lives. I bring this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.